Hi and welcome to SCL, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name's Rob from robnumphoto.com and this is my little audio diary about my journey through the wonderful world of photography. I hope everybody's had a good week and I'm up to Christmas now. You've caught me in the middle of just developing some film. I've got my 35mm roll of very, very, very expired and scratched and Fog Jessup's Neopan, I think it's 100, that I got from the car boot sale several months ago. And it's in my Patterson tank, and I'm just at the development stage. So what I've got to do is, the film's in the tank, and I've got to leave it in there for 5 minutes. Well, probably six, actually. And every minute I've got to give it a bit of agitation, which means that I've got to shake it, turn it upside down, and generally just get that developer all over the negative. I always prepare all my chemicals in advance, well, as you always do, and get them to the right temperature. So I've got some developer, I've got my stop bath, and I've got my fix bath. So bear with me. What you'll probably hear is every minute or so me shaking my Patterson tank and agitating it and then flipping it over. Then in a couple of minutes we'll take it out, take the developer out, put the stop bath in to stop the development process, and then we'll put some fixer in after that. So what we're going to talk about this week, well, what I thought I'd talk about is, another minute's gone, let's do a bit of agitation. I've got to agitate for 10 seconds every minute, roughly. I mean, with me, film developing, it's not an exact science, and that banging is to get rid of any bubbles that might be on the film. Yeah, one of the challenges of doing a podcast and writing the robnumphoto.com blog, as you probably are aware from what I've talked about in the past, is it's really difficult to do it on like a zero budget. You know, I get most of my camera stuff from the car boot sale, get the odd thing every now and again. And so what I do is I write to companies and say, look, my name's Rob from robnumphoto.com and the SCL Photography Podcast. Any chance of you send me any of your kit to review? And I've had great success with people like Lens Baby, Nissin, the flash people, software people. I've had loads of stuff from different things. And one of the things I wanted to do as well was try out lots of different types of black and white film. So I wrote to Fuji, Ilford, and Kodak. I've heard back from Fuji, and they basically said, you know, sorry, go and buy your own kind of thing. I haven't heard back from Kodak yet, but Ilford have been incredibly helpful. They wrote back and said, or emailed me back and said, well, normally we don't send out any film, but I've got a few rolls of 35. This was one of their PR people, and I'll stick it in the post here. So they've been very good, and they've sent me several rolls of film, which I can try out over the next few months. And what I thought I'd do is write a little report on each type of emulsion. So, for example, I've got XP2400 in my Trip 35 at the moment. An XP2400, or Super XP, is it called XP2? Actually, let me just get this look at the boot. Let's have a look. What does it say? XP2 Super, yeah, and it's 400 speed. Is a film that's great for the kind of casual film shooter who doesn't want to get into all this developing at home, because XP2 uses the same chemistry as colour film. So what that means is you just put it in your camera, you shoot it as you normally would, and then instead of having to go through all the hassle of trying to develop it at home, all you do is take it to your local camera shop or superstore that develops colour film, give them that, and then it'll go through their machines and it'll come out as a black and white, maybe with a little bit of a bluish tone sometimes, or a purplish tone. But it's a really easy way to get into black and white photography. So I've got that. So I thought that goes pretty well with the Trip, because the idea of the Trip 35 is it's a simple camera to use, it doesn't need any batteries, it's always ready to go. And once I've used up that roll, I'll then do a video about it, put the example shots on Flickr, and share the results. So, you know, if you want this kind of look, buy XP2 Super. Actually, right, I've just come to the process now where I'm into the last bit of the developer, so I'm just going to agitate it one last time, and then we've got one more minute to go, and then we're going to put our stop bath in. So what the developer is doing is, I don't know the chemistry and the science that's going on, but it's bringing out the image on the negative. And then we have to stop that process, because if you just let it go and go and go, obviously the film would go completely, it would go completely white. Would it go completely black? Because there's a negative in it, so the white bits would be black. It would go completely black, I think, and be no good to anybody. And that's what the stop bath is for. Now, lots of people just use water as a stop bath, but you can buy them, because this was like my first lot of chemicals, and it lasts an awful long time, so I don't use that much. I use proper stop baths. Okay, so now, I might go a bit quiet. So now I'm going to get rid of my developer, which unfortunately I can't use again. I'll get rid of that. I'm getting my stop bath. I'm pouring that into the top of my Patterson tank. And I've pre-measured all this out. And if you go to robnumphoto.com and go to the film section, if you go down the first few posts, there's one that says developing my own black and white film at home, where I explain all the chemicals I've used. Funnily enough, the developer I use is, because I didn't know much about it at the time, is PQ, Universal Ilford developer, which in the 40s really meant to use it to develop paper. I didn't know at the time. I just saw Universal and thought, oh, right, I can use that on anything. But it's been all right, actually. Very contrasting, normally, on good film. On this old Jessup's expired stuff, it does its best. But I think what I'll probably do is, before I get into some of the other rolls of this stuff from Ilford, I will get some, maybe get some different developer. So while we're waiting for that stop bath to do its business, normally leave it in for about 2 minutes. The other films that Ilford were kind enough to send me were Ilford Pan F Plus, which is a pretty slow film. It's only ISO 50, so that's probably going to be more suited to put in one of my SLRs, like the OM2 or the, what else can I put that into? The SRT101. And they sent me some HP 5 Plus, which is a fast black and white, what is it, ISO 400. So that'd be interesting to use. And they sent me some Delta 3200, which is ISO 3200 film, so that's going to be super grainy, and it's going to look really good. I did a few shots for some Patterson ISO 800 film, and that was grainy. That looked great. And the other film that I want to try out in 35 is they do SFX 200, which didn't send me some, so I'll probably have to buy it, which is a black and white film that's really red sensitive. So from the spiel that Ilford give, you get the impression that it's almost like an infrared film when you put a red filter or a yellow filter on the front of your camera, so that looks really good. So that gives you the kind of look where, you know, the skies go really black and trees go white and that sort of stuff, people's faces go white. So thank you very much to Ilford for sending me those rolls of 35. Looking forward to playing with them and shooting and then showing them everybody, you know, what these different films look like. And then I'll get some 120 as well and put them through, like the folding codec I've got, or that Mamiya C33. Okay, so that's enough of the stop bath, because that will have done its job now, and that will have neutralised the developing agent. So what we've got to do now is fix the film. Now, stop bath I can use again and again, so what I do with that is get my little plastic container, and one of the things I always make sure I do, I am wearing a rubber glove as well to protect my skin and the chemical, so I don't end up with dermatitis or anything like that. There we go, so stop bath done. Seal that up. And then what we need now is our fixer, which again is going to stabilise that negative so the image doesn't fade away. So I'm just going to pour that carefully into my Patterson tank. Nice and slowly. You can actually develop two 35mm films at once in these Patterson tanks, but when I actually had a go at that, I got some streaky nicks. Now that might even have been because of my technique, but I'm not sure, so I tend to just do one. I mean, I don't shoot that much black and white film anyway, but so I'm just going to agitate that. Now, this normally has to stay in for normally about 10 minutes. So again, every minute I have to agitate it. Now, I'm doing this in complete, in the light as well. Once you've used your dark bag to take the film out and get it in the tank, you do everything, you know, in the light. So I'm in the kitchen over our sink doing that way. And then when I finish this, what I'll do is take the negative, once you finish with the fixer, I will then give it a bath afterwards. So I put water in with a dab, a tiny little drop of washing up liquid. And what that helps to do is get rid of any streaks off the film. It makes it easier to dry. Then I'll take it out and then I'll hang it up for an hour or so in a fairly dust-free room, normally the bathroom or the dining room if people are having a bath. And that'll dry out. And then I might get a chance to scan it tonight and maybe put some shots up on Flickr if it comes out, because all this old Jessup film is highly experimental. You know, it went out of date years ago. It's actually been fogged because I think somebody actually opened the tin and looked at it that way. So that's something I've got to do that way. I'm just going to put the oven on because I'm going to be making tea. We're having pizza for tea in a minute as well. Let me just check with Suzanne. Sorry, darling.
Yeah, just put it on now, darling.
Right, there we go. Nothing's on. Right, what else was... Oh, yes. Christmas photo assignment. If you haven't got around to thinking about it yet, it's a dead simple one, because I know we're all busy in the run-up to Christmas. It is abstract macro photography, because almost everybody, from the cheapest compact camera or, you know, your mobile phone camera through to your high-end cameras, are capable of doing macro photography. So what I mean by macro is just getting close. Just get close to your subject as close as you can. I know there's true definitions of what macro photography really is, but just get really, really close. And the abstract bit is just to make it so it's not obvious what it is. So we can maybe have a little game of guessing what it is, or we can just concentrate on form and shape and colour over subject. Now, I put my photos up on in the Flickr group. I'll put a link in the show notes. And I just did it. It took me about probably half an hour, 45 minutes, and I just set up my camera on a tripod, because if you're working inside, you're going to be using slightly longer exposure, so you don't really want camera shake. But to get close, what I actually used was a close-up filter which screws on the front of the lens of my DSLR, my 350D. Because there's lots of ways of doing macro. You can use extension tubes, you can have a specific macro lens, you can just press the macro button on your camera if it's like a bridge camera or compact, and it will allow it to focus closer. Or you can get these, they're almost like glasses for your lenses which screw on the front. And I was very pleased with the results because they were sharp enough, it was easy to use, and it was nice and quick, a lot quicker than when I use extension tubes. And because I was using an EFS lens, you know, a proper Canon lens, I didn't lose my autofocus, which make life really easy as well. And I just took shots of a few things around the house. One of them was of I think it's the first one in my photo stream at the moment, which is the green one. And again, I'll put these photos in the show notes, which wasn't originally green, originally it was brown, but it's a feather. And in Picasa, I changed the colour. Oh, speaking of Picasa as well, if you haven't downloaded it already, download it now, because they've upgraded it to version 3.9, and there's now loads of extra editing options in it. It'll organise your photos, it'll do the facial recognition, you can add tags, you can geotag your images, all that for free. And then also, when you go to edit your photos, you can do all the normal things like contrast, brightness, sharpness, cropping, rotating, all that sort of business. And then you can change fill, light, etc. And then they used to have things like black and white conversion, which they've still got soft focus and things. But there's two whole new panels where you can add vignettes, you can add a Holger look, loads of different things. Really powerful piece of software now, for free. Really good. And you know, if you haven't got the time or the patience to go into Photoshop or Lightroom or Aperture, you know, by all means, you know, give Picasa a go. I've been really impressed with it, and it just seems to be getting better and better. I was a little bit worried that Google might stop supporting it, but I've got a feeling that with the Google Chrome notebooks, laptops, that sort of stuff, and the idea of having everything on the web, that Picasa and the tools in Picasa and Picnic, which Google own as well now, is going to be integral. You know, they understand that photography is very important to lots of people who use, for example, Google Plus, and they're going to integrate Picasa and online Picasa and web albums and everything. And in fact, Picasa is now linked with Google Plus and web albums, and as long as you tick the box that says optimize for web viewing, you've now got unlimited uploads and backup of your photos to the web via Picasa. Now, you can't upload the full versions, but the slightly smaller ones that are optimized for the web, as many as you want, so, you know, a million photographs, and you'll be able to do it for free, as long as you use that optimize for the web button, which I think is really cool, because it's free. You know, what more could you want from a free service? But one of the things I did with that photo was I turned it green, because I quite like that effect on it. And then I did one of a door handle, and what else did I do? Oh, a close-up of some baubles, and then a close-up of our light utensil holder. I think there's something that looks, somebody said it looks a bit like an engine, but it's actually a tin opener, and a few other stainless steel implements behind it that way. So it's a bit of fun. By all means, give it a try. Remember, you can join Flickr for free, you can join the robinonphoto.com group for free. It gets us trying something else, especially if you live in the Northern Hemisphere and it's getting dark really early and you can't go out because it's too cold or you're too busy. If you can spend sort of 20 minutes just wandering around the house looking for unusual shapes or images or colours that you can get really close to and take a photograph of, we're not really quite sure what it is, abstract macro. So there we go, that's about it for this week. I'm almost ready to take this film. In fact, I tell you what, I won't sign off quite yet. We'll have the unveiling of the film, because it should be done by now in the fixer. So I've done the fixer bit, so now I take the top off. Again, I might go a little bit quieter here. Take the top off my packaging tank, pour my fixer back into the container because I can use it again. So, seal that up. Now, normally, actually, when I take these negatives out of the Patterson tank, they're very dense. You know, you almost can't see an image of them because the film is so old and had it. I'm just going to rinse these, get rid of all the chemicals off them. So sometimes when I take them out, I can't actually see much. But when I scan them and I then add lots of contrast in Photoshop or Picasa, the images then come out. So all I'm doing is I'm giving the film a wash, just in clean water, just to get rid of all the chemicals. And now what I'm going to do, my final wash, I'm just going to put some water in. So I'm going to add a tiny, tiny, tiny little bit of washing up fluid. Tiny little bit. Yeah, tiny, one less than like a tiny little drop. Fill it up with water. Very slowly so it doesn't go all bubbly. Just give it a once sort of roll. There we go. That will cover the film. Carefully pour that away. That's done. Yeah, it's just water I'm just pouring down the drain. I'm not pouring nasty chemicals. Consult your local authority for how you should be disposing the chemicals. Top comes off the packing tank. Take the pulse ball out. Right, now here we go. So now I take the spool apart, undo it, pull it apart that way. Ooh, here we go. This is always exciting because you never know what you're going to get. I've got my squeegee ready. Now, slowly. Oh, I can see images already. Woohoo! Excellent. Loads of contrast. Let's see. I can't even remember what I've been taking with these shots. Oh, I think I took a load down the car boots out. There's definitely some faces. Some very dark ones. Can't see anything on those. But whenever you do any film processing, the fact that there's anything on the negative at all is always a big, 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 big bonus. There we go. A successful development. There we go. I'm glad to have you along for the ride as well. So look out for these photos. I'll try and dry them and scan them and have them up on Flickr over the next few days, and I'll put them on the blog as well. Well, there we go. Thanks for everybody for listening. Thanks everybody for downloading and experiencing the podcast. And hopefully pretty soon. I'll see you on Flickr.